This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, a great tackle by Steve Tasker.
Into the end zone. Touchdown. Touchdown.
And he's got it at the 10-yard line.
Touchdown. Touchdown. Touchdown, Buffalo. The Bills win it in overtime.
Fearless. That's what Sean McDermott wants the Bills to be, absent of fear. He wants them to play free, play decisively, play without hesitation. The snap. Allen pumps once, now looks right, fires a strike downfield, caught by John Brown at the 15 into the end zone. Touchdown! Touchdown, Buffalo! And the Bills have a 13-0 lead. Four-man rush. Fitz has time. Guns it down the middle. It is caught over the middle. It is dropped by Hearns. Did he recover? No, the loose ball there. Poyer may have it at the 24-yard line. Singletary angles over the left side, finds room, gets inside the 40, inside the 35, and dragged down. No, he's still on his feet. The ball came out. John Brown advanced it all the way down to the 24-yard line. The snap. Looks, fires over the middle. Got a man open. It is caught at the 15-yard line. Dawson Knox headed into the end zone. He is in. Touchdown! Touchdown, Buffalo! He was wide open. Here's Hauschka's kickoff. Jakeem Grant takes a look at it. And this time he brings it out from 1 yard deep in the end zone. Cuts to his left, now trying to cut across the field. Gets across the 35, across the 40. He's across midfield, down the sideline. He might score. Down the sideline at the 20, 10, 5, touchdown. Holy mackerel, Jakeem Grant. Allen ready to go, in the gun, takes the snap. Looks into the end zone, has time. Gets away from some pressure, rolls right, going to keep it and run with it at the 5. Headed to the corner of the end zone. Is he in? Yes, touchdown, Buffalo. Josh Allen, touchdown. Here's the snap from the 9. Josh going to fake the handoff, roll right, fires into the end zone. Caught, touchdown, John Brown, touchdown, Buffalo. From 9 yards out, the Bills move it downfield smartly. A 17-point Buffalo lead. The snap, Fitzpatrick. Pressured, sack. Jack Lawson will get credit for the sack, and Oliver was in on the tail end of it. Kneeled out time for Josh Allen, and listen to the crowd, the Buffalo crowd that has taken over Hard Rock Stadium. We can point at the 101-yard kickoff return and a couple of defensive lapses, but a good solid game and exactly what this Bills team needed on both sides of the football today.
Oh, they sure did. They got it, too. That's the Game Rewind presented by Toshiba, the official copier company of the Buffalo Bills. They had fun down there, all those Bills fans. Good afternoon, Bills fans. Welcome to our show. John Murphy, Steve Tasker. Welcome to One Bills Live on Victory Monday. Players' day off. They gave them the day off after the big win in Miami yesterday. A really fun game and a good win, Steve. A really good win for the Bills yesterday.
Yeah, there were times that game, well, the Bills were the better team. From start to finish.
Yep.
Now Miami, you know, took a few swings at them and landed some punches, but there was really that game was really never in doubt. The 101 yard kickoff return was probably the highlight for the Dolphins. But man, oh man, I watched the game and wow, the Bills defense early in that game was suffocating. I mean, it was unbelievable. And finally, Miami made some things happen. Fitz made some things happen for him to make it not a complete embarrassment. But man, oh man, it was a dominating performance by the Bills defense. And the Bills offense, you called it early in the last week, you thought they would score 30 points on them, and they certainly did, 37 points. It was a really good day for Buffalo, for the team. They looked like a good football team playing against a bad football team.
Yep. Once I saw Miami a couple of games on video, even in their victories leading up to the Bills game, it was pretty clear they weren't in Buffalo's class. And look, the Bills are not a great team, but they're a very good team. And now a team with 7 wins in 10 games, a very good 7-3 record, squarely in playoff contention in the AFC, should remain there with more work to be done. But the Bills are a very good team, I thought, and showed that defensively especially. I thought it was kind of a breakout game of sorts for Josh Allen, who threw it with authority. I mean, that throw, the touchdown pass, the first one to John Brown was an absolute fastball strike. I mean, it just zipped right to him. That was the one touchdown play that came at me, and I had the best view of that one of all of them. But he was good. Josh Allen was good. He wasn't perfect, but he was good, I think, most of the day yesterday. And here's the thing, and it's reinforced by Josh Allen's touchdown run in the second half, the 9-yard run for the touchdown. I think it was 9, right?
Yeah,
this
right.
Guy is a beast. He is a physical force to be reckoned with. If you're playing the Bills, and, you know, we had the big debate almost earlier this year, do they want him running that much? Do you want him running that much? Yeah, I think you do, especially at this stage of his career, at this stage of his health and his strength. You do want him running it that much. He is a force to be reckoned with in the running game. And that touchdown run around the right side, Steve, I mean, he was fast, he was strong, he got hit, and he bounced right back up, hung onto the ball as he went to the ground. I mean, that's just a special play. Very few quarterbacks can do that. Cam Newton maybe comes to mind, but that's about it. A guy who could be a force in the run game the way Josh Allen is.
He rushed in for that touchdown, and there was a safety that was coming up to make a play, and he had no chance. I mean, he put a pretty good shot on Josh, and Josh plowed through him. Yeah. I mean, he took the brunt of the blow, and Allen got up like nothing happened. You're right. It is a weapon that the Bills have. I heard, you know, what you said this morning earlier was, you know, you just saw all the potential and raw materials that make Josh Allen this guy that's really intriguing, makes him a top 10 pick of the draft. And I saw the other thing too. You see him doing some things that he hasn't done before. You know, the scan of the football field on the John Brown long touchdown pass. He looked left, came back right, and fired a laser beam down the right side. And last week with some of the checks that he made and some of the stuff he's doing pre-snap, now he's getting it done against a team like Miami, who's not a good football team this year, who's in a rebuilding mode, who haven't won a lot of games. He's getting stuff like that done against an inferior opponent, and slowly but surely the thought would be for me, and I've seen a little bit of it, he's doing it against a little better – he's able to do it a little better team. He's doing it against a little better team, and soon, hopefully, the thought is that the more he sees and the more he experiences, he's going to be getting this done at a championship level. And we'll see. He's not there yet. But, man, oh, man, he's improving. And this is a game where, because of his abilities as a quarterback, this offense looked pretty good.
It's not the only thing Josh Allen is, but one big thing about Josh Allen, even after 21 NFL starts, I believe, is he is a physical force. He's got native skills that regardless of how well he sees the field, regardless of his decision-making, you have to account for his abilities to run the ball, to stand in the pocket, to deliver a ball with a fastball with all kinds of juice on it. I mean, those are skills, native skills, raw material, like you said, that, you know, 98% of the population doesn't have, and 60% of quarterbacks in the NFL don't have. That's why you choose him 7th overall. That's why you invest in him as your, you know, starter for both last year and now this year. That's why you try to surround him with talent. He's got native inborn skills that most quarterbacks don't have, and they're building on that. They're making progress with that. I think that's pretty evident.
Yeah, he's and interesting, too, the way that translates onto the football field. Obviously, he can run fast, and he snapped off a 36 or 40-yard run in the first half on a run option. And the thing that it gives you X's and O's wise as well is, and I said this about Cam Newton when in the run that the Panthers made to the Super Bowl and in those years around that season they had, he's the best short yardage back in the league. Because not only – and he can do it out of shotgun, he can do it underneath center. He's a real problem to challenge because of that. You know, they come up and quick snap it or catch you off guard on a snap. He's quarterback sneaks it. It's a 2.5-yard gain. Well, that's short yardage, man, and that's – you know, you can't defend it, right? I mean, there's just really no defense on it unless you sell out. And as soon as you start selling out, you know, he turns around and hands it to – you know, Devin Singletary or Frank Gore. I mean, short yardage has become a real asset for this Bills team. They were 1-for-1 on 4th down yesterday, but that's just one thing that gives you, that big – I mean, he's genetically different. I mean, the guy's 6'5 plus, 200 and whatever many pounds, 200 plus pounds, you know. I mean, I don't know if he's 250 or not, but man, oh, man, that guy's a load, and he's fast.
Yeah.
It is a problem. And it's something defenses have to think about when they're defending these guys.
You take those native skills, you build on them, you refine his ability to read defenses and his ability to diagnose what's going on out there, and maybe, not quite yet, but you're getting there, you have a bona fide premier-level NFL quarterback. I think he's making that march towards that level, and yesterday I think was a big step forward for him.
Yeah, there's no guarantee that he won't take a step back here and there. Like in the Cleveland game, he could have, you know, there's a couple of plays to be made there that would have made a difference in that game. It's still a close game. The defense that he's playing with gives him a big margin of error, no question about it. Yesterday they held the Dolphins to 14 points. And then you add on a special teams touchdown as well. I mean, it's a pretty good margin of error for a young quarterback trying to get better.
Sure.
And when you meet a team that's not playing its best, like the Dolphins didn't yesterday and haven't, it turns into a 17-point win.
37-20 the final. The Bills put up 37. They also played great defense. We're here to talk about it for the next 3 hours. Got a good show planned for you today. Coming up on the show today, we're going to talk to Josh. Josh Allen will be live in studio with us at 1:30. He is here, even though it's a victory Monday and a player's day off. Josh Allen will join us today at 1:30 in the afternoon. We got Bills center Eric Wood, former Bills center, my partner on the broadcast on Sundays. Eric's going to join us live at 1 o'clock, and he's home in Louisville. We'll get him on Skype. As I said, Josh Allen at 1:30. Chris Brown, Bills insider Chris Brown from BuffaloBills.com joins us at 2. And Maddie Glab at 2:30 with the Maddies, her awards for yesterday's victory over the Miami Dolphins. The Bills sweep the Dolphins. They've won, what, 5 of their last 6 against the Dolphins. It went well. It went about as well as it could yesterday in Miami. The weather wasn't great. I'll tell you one thing, Stephen. You asked me. You're listening and watching some of the highlights today, and you heard the crowd. I've never seen a visiting team's crowd take over a stadium the way the Bills fans did yesterday. It was amazing. Basically, half the stadium behind the Buffalo bench was all Bills fans, and I mean all Bills fans, thousands of them. Many of them stayed to the end. You saw some of the video, if you're watching on MSG, of the reception they gave the players as they exited the field. But right from the start, it was a Buffalo crowd. I mean, there were more Bills fans there, I would say, and you don't think of this often, but there were more Bills fans there, and they were much louder than the Miami fans. I do think there were more Bills fans there than Miami fans yesterday.
Yeah,
it's just based on observation.
It's a bad stretch for Miami, no question about it. They're caught in a rebuild mode where, you know, they've got a journeyman quarterback. As much as we love him, Fitz is, you know, he's a stopgap. They're looking for their answer for the long term. They traded away some really quality players and to get some draft picks and some capital to go forward, but that's not helping them this year. This is, you know, you get that confluence of events where the Bills are putting together a really good season and the Dolphins are not, turned into, and I wasn't thinking about it, but I was watching the game this morning. I was like, wow, it caught me the way it sounded on the broadcast when the Bills did something. And it was a huge roar. And I was like, well, wait a minute, that was wrong. But you know, it was obvious the Bills fans were out in full force.
They were out apparently Saturday in the beaches and bars of Fort Lauderdale and continued there right till Sunday. Not a great day yesterday. It was like 62, 64 degrees and cloudy. Very little sunshine yesterday, which was fine for the Bills players, I'm sure, and even for the fans who didn't sit there and bake in the sun at Hard Rock Stadium. The Dolphins had a rough day. And as we said last week, as I was telling you last week, Thursday and Friday, especially after I watched some video, they had less talent to put on the field than they had the first time they played Buffalo a month ago. They had a couple of wins in their resume, which was okay. Wins over the Jets and a win over the Jets and a win over the Colts. But really, there's not much there. They're not very good. Ryan Fitzpatrick almost heroic in a losing effort yesterday. I mean, he put it up for grabs a couple of times and did not get picked, but he was you know, he was under siege the entire game, right? Fitzpatrick really
sacked
felt
six
it.
Or seven times.
Seven times he was sacked. I'm looking for his
Corey Leggett got a sack.
I mean, he was under siege.
Ed Oliver
rough.
Got a sack.
Fitzpatrick threw it 45 times.
Let's face it too. Sometimes you do it just because. But I think in this case, the Dolphins knew they had to come up with some things to beat the Bills. At this point of their season, you know, the surprise onside they got. They certainly got that. They got the kickoff return for a touchdown, which was a huge boost for them. And then you knew you were going to have to drop back and throw it. Early in that game, I have never seen the Bills' defense stifle a running game on the first couple of drives like they did the Dolphins on this game. I thought, and Adam Archuleta did a nice job bringing it up on the broadcast, the Bills sent a lot of pressure, a lot of percentage of the time. And I'll tell you what, we've had people call in saying Tremaine Edmonds needs to be moved to the outside linebacker spot.
No way.
I'll tell you a couple of things he does from the inside linebacker, middle linebacker spot that nobody else does. That guy flies. He can reach every corner of the field because of his range and because of his length. And you can say what you want. Maybe sometimes in the run game he doesn't disengage from blockers or whatever criticism you want to bring. But I'll tell you this. When he blitzes, that guy is a force. I mean, he is a beast coming in when they bring extra pressure. He's so long and so tall, and he can get low on pad level and bull rush people. And he appears so enormous when it's in a tight space of the pocket, the quarterbacks are ducking him before he's there. He had a game yesterday. He really did. I thought Tremaine Edmonds really had a game yesterday. Matt Milano was all over the place yesterday. The Bills' defense, I think, giving up 20 points as it did on the scoreboard, even though, 13 of it was theirs, this defense was stifling yesterday. And they played a desperate offense with a veteran savvy, although journeyman quarterback who knew what he was going to have to do to win that game. So they hit some blows on the Bills in that fight. But man, oh man, Bills defense showed up big time.
It's funny. We'll get Eric Wood talking about it when he joins us next hour. But he said he had a pregame conversation with his buddy Fitz, and Fitz told him, "I feel good. I played a lot this year. It's mid-November, but I feel pretty good." I wonder how he feels today after getting sacked seven times and getting hit as much as he did yesterday.
He took some real shots yesterday, yep. Fitzpatrick did.
Yep. Hey, there's a lot to like about yesterday's game, and we wonder what you like the most. What's the number one factor? That's our Twitter poll today. It is up right now on Twitter at One Bills Live. What's the number one factor in the Bills' victory over the Dolphins? What do you have? You can let us know what you think. Phone lines open, 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. You can send in a tweet. We can read it on the tweet sheet in a little bit. You can vote in the Twitter poll. We've already got 450 votes in on Twitter. The number one factor in the Bills' victory over the Dolphins, 69% of you, more than two-thirds, say it was a great day for Josh Allen. Okay, 15% of you say it was the defensive performance, the number one factor. 12% say it was the huge day for John Brown. He was sensational. 9 catches, 137 yards, 2 touchdowns. 3% have something else in mind. Let's hear what you think. Give us a call, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. The number one factor in the Bills' victory over the Dolphins. What do you think? A lot to choose from. I'd go defense, Steve, just because the defense early set the tone, I think. It was clear after two and a half, maybe three series that the Dolphins were not going to be able to do anything on offense, and I think the rest of the Bills were getting field goals first couple of possessions, but I thought they sort of drew a lot from the fact that their defense was so dominant early on, and I thought they kind of built on that as the game went along.
Yeah, I agree. It's a factor. I think it does factor in, and you can say it shouldn't or you don't like it or whatever, but when you've got a defense that's playing that well against an opponent, you really got to feel good about how that game's going to turn out. And I think it does affect your offensive philosophy. I think it does affect your desire or the need to start slinging it around. I think you saw the Dolphins' offense and the success they had was out of desperation. They knew that they were up against it. They couldn't run the football. The only thing they could do is get the ball out of Ryan Fitzpatrick's hands to somebody, anybody. They started to be successful a little bit on the short pass. They started to nick the Bills on some down the field throws, but only when they could actually get them off. It was a rough day for the Miami offense, no question about it. 13 points is all they could muster on that side of the football, and that's just not going to get it done. As we've seen that in Buffalo, without a dominating defense, you're not going to win with 13 points.
They gave up on their run in the second half. They had 8 rushing attempts first half, just 5 in the second half. They gave up on that. They couldn't get anything done, and I do think that carried over to the entire Buffalo roster. All right, let's get to some of your responses. The number one factor in the Bills' victory over the Dolphins, what do you have? We'll start with the phones, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Let's start with Earl in Wellsville. Hello, Earl. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, guys. Hey, I got to say, the offensive line really did their homework, because there was quite a few times, but when they would pick up the blitz, there was like 2 offensive guys taking on 3 blocks, And I think they did their homework pretty doggone well to save Josh some time to throw the football.
Yeah, Josh never appeared to be threatened at all by a pass rush, did he? I mean,
maybe one or once or twice, but yeah, he had a lot, and there were a lot of times when he stood back there and stood back there and stood back there too. So yeah, I agree with you. The offensive line was dominant against the Dolphins yesterday. What else, Earl?
Now, what do you think about the blitzing? They played yesterday like they did at the beginning of the season, like when, you know, they were all healthy and they were ready to go yesterday.
Yeah, I liked it. I think it was a game plan thing, no question about it. They brought pressure because they thought they didn't think the Miami Dolphins offensive line could hold up against it like the Bills offensive line did yesterday. I think that was a matchup they felt like they could win in that way. And I think with seven sacks?
Seven.
That says a lot about what the Bills' philosophy was. And but I think it was right. The right way to go.
It's a game plan thing.
Oh,
they might
sure.
not bring that many pass rush pressure packages, you know, this week against Denver, right? I think that's the way they play it.
Yeah,
look, Frazier
be.
And McDermott are not heavy blitz guys when it comes to their defensive philosophy. A little bit more yesterday, not overwhelming, but a little bit more yesterday. But they change up week to week. They do it on offense, too. They change things pretty much week
to week.
It
may be the exact same this week against Denver. It may be just the opposite against Denver. They may rush three all day. You don't know, but I think they'll do it because they feel it gives them the best chance to win defensively.
Thanks for your call. We'll go to Steve in Orchard Park. Go ahead, Steve.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Good.
I thought the number one thing yesterday was maybe Brian Daboll going up in the box.
How do you figure?
He called a pretty good game. And I just like the way the plays were mixed in yesterday.
Yeah, I don't think play calling had been an issue really this season. I know, I guess I'm in the minority with that, but I don't know. I'd be interested to hear from Brian, and he does a news conference today at 4:30 about what why they made that move and what he thought he got out of it. Is that a factor upstairs, downstairs? What do you think?
You have to ask. It's his opinion, and maybe Josh had an opinion as well. What was your other point, Steve?
No, I just wanted to say that I thought they played their best overall game, offense, defense yesterday. So that was encouraging. I just got one question real quick for you guys. Lamar Jackson, do you think his style is going to be he's going to be able to do that over the course of her career? Because didn't we see that with Colin Kaepernick before? I was just wondering, because he does a lot of running, and I just wonder if that's going to, you know, eventually catch up to him as the years go on.
Well, I think he's going to play exactly the way he's playing for his entire career. The question is, and you're alluding to it, Steve, is how long is that career going to be able to last? It's a hard game to run the football a lot in the NFL. You know, Frank Gore's an anomaly, being able to do it for 16 years at the running back spot. You saw Cam Newton, if you've ever met him in person or talked with him, he's enormous. He's like a Josh Allen guy. He's a huge, big, broad, heavy guy who can throw the football a ton. You can even see now, at the end, at his career stage, you know, he's getting beat up, and he can't play as effectively as he once did because he has been injured. So Lamar Jackson's not Cam Newton, and Cam Newton's not Lamar Jackson. We'll have to see. But I do say this about Steve: Lamar Jackson is a unique and phenomenal talent. We'll see if the punishment that the NFL dishes out to its quarterbacks will allow him to have a long career. And I hope he does. The guy's great. I don't wish it against him, but that's the big question mark that nobody has the answer to yet.
Thanks for your call. Let's go to Kevin in Rochester. Hi, Kevin. Welcome. You're on the show with us.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. Hey, to me, the most important part of the victory, the thing that made the victory, was the way the defense played. I love the schemes they ran up front. You guys alluded to it. They changed up what they had been doing to apparently attack a Miami Dolphins offensive line that just really couldn't handle what they were going to bring. But the most encouraging thing to me was our offense. I love the way the offensive line blocked and gave Josh time. I love Josh's decision-making. And I love the fact that they talked earlier in the week about, you know, playing not scared. It looked like he played not scared. I just love the way he played. It was really encouraging to me because, like we've talked about before, hey, this defense, they're amazing. We can't rely on them in every single game. So going forward into the schedule we've got, we're going to need Josh and the offense to do it, and I think they did it really well yesterday.
Yeah, it's a good point. You know, that was kind of a theme of the week, right? Once Josh mentioned it Wednesday late that Coach McDermott told them to play fearless, and – You could see it. And I do think part of it goes into the way the defense played. Josh Sheets' defense out there stoning the Dolphins. You know, you'd lose any fear you have. Like, whoa, the defense got my back today. I can get some stuff done today.
Yeah.
And he did. But you're right. He attacked him. He had great throws yesterday, some really good throws. And I think this guy has – we'll talk to him at 1:30 today. I think he has confidence in his ability to make great throws. Don't you? I really do.
Oh, I do too. Yeah, I agree. And you're right. And we knew it going in. Sean McDermott didn't sit Josh Allen down and tell him to play fearless. He sat the whole team down and told him to play that way. And I think the coaching staff – I think when you give a message like that as a coaching staff, as a head coach, you tell your coordinators, say, listen – Don't take your foot off the gas. Give these guys something that lets them play fearless. Give these guys some plays where they can say, oh, my gosh, we really are going for it. You know, give the players, as a coordinator, give the players a message with your play calling and with your attitude during the week when the build-up to the game that you're going to give them a chance to spread their wings a little bit and play fearless, that you're going to call the game fearless, you're going to coach fearlessly. And I think that carried over to the players, and certainly on defense, I think they saw some things, in the blitzing packages that let them know that the coaches were serious about being fearless as well.
Thanks for your call. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back with more. We'll get more calls in. We'll get some of your tweets in on the tweet sheet. What do you think? The number one factor in the Bills' win over the Dolphins, what do you think it was? Vote in the Twitter poll and let us know what you think. We're back with more in a moment. One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health, coming to you from our Seneca studio at One Bills Drive, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Welcome back, John Murphy, Steve Tasker. Monday after a Bills victory, and we got a show here for you today until 3. Chris Brown coming up, Matty Glab coming up, Eric Wood coming up at 1, and Josh Allen going to be live with us at 1:30. In the meantime, your chance to talk. What was the number one fact? What are you doing? You getting dressed?
I had to put my IFB back in my ear.
And move your mic over.
And move my mic.
Welcome back. Your time to talk about the Bills' victory over the Dolphins. Number one factor in the Bills' win over the Dolphins. What do you think it is? That's our Twitter poll today. That's what we start with today. You spent some time in Hamilton, Ontario at Tim Hortons Field, Tim Hortons Stadium.
Did. The Hamilton Tiger Cats are going to the Grey Cup final.
Good.
Yeah,
congratulations.
This next weekend, yeah. Luke's headed out. They won 36-16 over the Edmonton Eskimos. Is a good game and was great. It was a great win, and the Hamilton's going to the third to the Grey Cup for the third time since my son's been playing with them.
That's great.
Yeah,
they have yet to win one, which is that
a genetic thing? But they played really well. It was a great day, a lot of fun, and we had a good group of people from here in Buffalo that went up and watched, and just a fantastic game. It was a lot of fun. And we head to Calgary.
You're going, huh?
Calgary, and it's not Alberta.
It is Calgary, Alberta.
No, it's not. It's someplace else. I can't remember. But it's
you're going.
Way out. Yeah, we're headed. We're
Check
headed
your
out.
Ticket. I
we
think
are
it's
headed
Alberta.
Out. We're headed out to Calgary next weekend. The Grey Cup is coming right up. It's this next Sunday.
Excellent.
I'm going to go. It's going to be fun. Yeah, we're really proud and excited.
Have you been to a Grey Cup before?
One. Went to one in B.C. about 5 years ago.
Okay.
And it was fun.
That's cool.
It's a great time.
You got a whole family? You got like a big group?
Yeah, everybody decided they're going to go. He's been in 7 years, so it's, we'll see.
Mike Robitaille, remember him? He used to call it Calgary. Sabres are playing Calgary.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
That's cool. Good for Luke. I'm happy for him.
Yeah,
that's really cool.
It's a fun game yesterday.
Yeah. Fun game in Miami for Bills fans. What do you think? Number one factor in the Bills win? Phone line's open. We'll get to some tweets in a moment. Let's take a call here from Larry on a cell phone. Hello, Larry. Welcome. You're on the air with us. Larry? Larry!
They're yelling in the control room. All right, no problem, Larry.
Okay, Larry. Tweet sheet brought to you by Corrigan Moving Systems, the official movers of the Buffalo Bills. From Isle Deal, this tweet. This is just my opinion, but I believe our defense can carry this team. We only lost to Cleveland because they got worn down from being on the field all day. Thank goodness our offense gave them time to breathe on Sunday. Well, defense can carry the team. Well,
welcome to the party, Larry.
Yeah, right. You just woke up? Certainly. They're a team built on defense, still the number three defense in the NFL. They're getting better on offense. Not quite there yet. Bills average 21 points per game now after putting up 37 yesterday. That's okay. Like to see it get up to the mid-20s, and there's still plenty of time to do that. Six games left for the Bills. You got let's think about the schedule for a second or see. We haven't talked about it all much right this morning, but you got Broncos coming here, 3-7 Broncos. Then you got a 4-game stretch that is pretty interesting for the Bills, I think, after that, right? Broncos here, Thanksgiving in Dallas. Regardless of what you might think, the Cowboys are not unbeatable at home on Thanksgiving Day. We'll talk about that as that week approaches. Then you got like a week and a half off, which is not bad, and you come home to play Baltimore. You might need that week and a half. Baltimore is very solid. That's game two of this stretch. Then you go to Pittsburgh. Now, the Steelers, if you watched them last, was it Thursday night
against Cleveland?
They're not that good. And Mason Rudolph is not scaring anybody, but still, it's at Pittsburgh Heinz Field.
Miles Garrett game.
Yep, that's Thursday night. And then after Pittsburgh, you go to New England, and we know the Bills' troubles there. So that's a 4-game stretch, and then you finish up, of course, with the Jets. And look, we've said all along, 10 or 11 or 11-plus wins is the target for this team. They still need to do some winning here down the stretch, including this Sunday against Denver, right, to get to 10 or 11 wins.
That's right, yeah. They got a lot of work to do, and I think they know it. I mean, they're trying to stay humble and hungry. Certainly, I don't see anybody beating their chest over beating the Miami Dolphins on a year like this that they're having. But nevertheless, you got to stack those wins up. And
yep.
With the Denver Broncos coming in, who just took it on the chin, or a 3-6 team, I guess. Let me just double check that. But the Broncos have got 3 wins. Yeah, they're 3-7, just the opposite of the Buffalo Bills. So you got to. They jumped out to a 20-0 lead on the Minnesota Vikings this last week on the road. And the Vikings came back and nipped him at the end. So it's Joe Flacco's their quarterback. Is he going to play? Is he playing, or did he?
It was Allen yesterday.
Yeah, that's right. For the Vikings?
No,
not for the Vikings. For the Denver Broncos.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. That's
Brandon Allen.
And they're going to. Their defense is still manned very well. Their head coach is a defensive guy, just like Sean McDermott is. Vic Fangio. We'll see. There's no gimmies in this league. You got to go out and play, just like the Bills had to go out and play against the Dolphins this last week. You thought it was a game they should win, and they came out and confirmed your opinion. So we'll see if they can continue to do that against the Denver Broncos.
What do you think? Give us a call, 803-0550, toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. Curtis in Niagara Falls. Hello, Curtis. You're on the air.
Hey, what's up, man? How you doing?
Good.
Hey, how you doing, Steve?
Doing great, man. Thanks for calling, Curtis.
You know, I love it since I'm old school. Anytime we beat the Dolphins, I loved it.
Yep.
You know? And it was a good game and everything. But with that being said, the small elephant in the room, Singletary's fumbling.
Yeah, it's a concern. At the end of that one run, I know he fumbled it, and then John Brown jumped on it for an extra couple of yard gain. And then was there another one? I can't remember. But you're right. The Bills have fumbled it a ton this year. Josh Allen, most notably, and they've gotten almost all of them back. Now, let me tell you something. That is nothing but good fortune. You know, guys are always – everybody hustles after a loose ball. But I agree with you. Turnovers cannot become a problem for this team because that's not part of their ability to overcome. I don't think that's in their margin of error. They can't turn it over and win games.
15 fumbles for the Bills. They've lost 4 of them so far in the first 10 games. They didn't turn it over yesterday, right? And they've thrown.
And they got a turnover yesterday on a fumble.
Josh Allen has not thrown an interception in 5 games. I think they've solved that problem. I think I'm prepared to say that, which is not to say it might not crop up again. But I think they've solved the interception problem, to be sure, and that's Josh.
They haven't been losing games. They didn't lose the Cleveland game because of turnovers, I don't think.
Right.
So
they haven't lost one since, what, New England that was because of turnovers.
Yeah, it's been a while. It has been a while.
That was late September. On the tweet sheet, the number one factor in the Bills' win over the Dolphins from Nick: Allen was great, but credit needs to be given to Daboll, too. I know it's the Dolphins, but I thought he called a great game. Good balance of run-pass, no head-scratching play calls, and there was no weak third-quarter performance. I wonder if being in the booth made a difference. I wonder that, too. I don't know if it would be a dramatic difference. I mean, and as I said, I don't know that the play calls were the issue and when the Bills lost 2 of 3 prior to yesterday. I don't know that that would be something I would put on the fact that Brian Daboll's play calling was not up to par. I don't believe it is, but I know there's that body of opinion out there. The fact that he moved upstairs, we'll see. He will meet the media at 4:30 this afternoon, and I'm sure at that time he'll explain why he made the move and what he saw differently up there.
Yeah, it will be interesting to see if they do that going forward, and also why they made the change. I don't know if we'll ever find out why as to why they made the change going forward, or whether it'll stand. Maybe that was a game plan thing as well this week. I don't know. But it's hard to think that being on field level or at the booth would have a difference in which call was made on any given play. But we'll see. We'll see what Brian Daboll has to say. I'm sure he's not going to tell us. But come on.
All right, well, tell us what your favorite restaurant is.
Yeah, he won't even tell us what his favorite restaurant is on the air. You know, so, he's not going to tell us anything. But we have one more from the tweet sheet I want to listen to. Did you get the Nick S. one?
No, I did not.
All right, Nick S. That's the Josh Allen that no one expected coming out. The pocket awareness was absolutely on point. What needs to happen now is build off this. All too often, it's felt like one step forward followed by a stagnant or a step back. I think that's going to – Nick S., that's probably right. He has shown improvement, and then other times he's taken a step back. I think you're going to continue to see that, though. I don't think Josh Allen's going to come out and throw for 3 touchdowns and run for 1 every week. And I don't think he's thrown his last interception of his career. I don't think he's had his last fumble. I mean, there's going to be times when he takes a step back. The question is, can they overcome it? Can he play well enough around those to overcome it? To this point, he's cut those down, and the team has played better in won games because of it. This defense and the way the team is constructed right now, Josh Allen hasn't had to have too many games like he did yesterday. I think when we start seeing him have games like he did yesterday against teams like Pittsburgh, Baltimore, Cleveland, New England, that's when you'll know he's really turned the corner. He's having really good games against some teams that are struggling. I want to see him have it against better teams. And I think that's when that's where experience and reps and seeing it again and again and again are going to pay dividends.
You want growth.
Yeah.
But let me say this, and we were talking this morning. I had a good weekend conversation with a high-ranking Bills football official who we were talking about the constant evaluation of Josh Allen and the fact that they're and I think Nick S. just did it, and I understand it, but we don't need a weekly referendum on Josh Allen. How's he doing today? Is he the guy? Is he going to be the franchise quarterback? Did they make the right pick? You don't need to do that every week. You know, he took a step forward yesterday. He took a little bit of a step back at Cleveland the week before. At the end of the year, I think, then you can look and see how does Josh's 2019 compare to his 2018, and then make a decision on what you have and how far you want to go with this guy. I think on a week-to-week basis, like you said, I would almost bet he would have at least one more interception this year. He may fumble it again this year. But that doesn't mean all bets are off. We know who Josh Allen is yet. No, you can't do it week-to-week. You know, he's the starting quarterback this year. He's likely to be the starting quarterback next year. I think there's adequate evidence so far, 10 games in, that this guy has what it takes to be a quarterback in the NFL. But you don't need to make that decision every Monday after the Sunday game. Do you agree, disagree?
Oh, sure. Yeah, I get you. I mean, listen, whether he stinks it up or not, he's going to quarterback this team next week and the week after. I mean, he's not going anywhere. And I think that this point, and I'm with you, Murph, you kind of take this whole season. Now, the coaches will do this a little bit differently than we are more detailed than we're able to sitting here. But they'll evaluate him as he goes forward, and they'll know, okay, listen, here's some things he doesn't really see really well, or here's some things he struggles with, or here's some things. And Josh will tell him, he goes, I don't like doing that. I don't like running this kind of play because I have trouble seeing this read or doing that. And every quarterback has that. Every quarterback does. The question is, can you get better and can you coach some things up? And that's why all these coaches everywhere look for guys with raw talent like Josh has, because a lot of this stuff, almost all of it, you can coach up. He can get better at reading defenses. He can get better at pre-snap recognition. He can get better at cutting out bad interceptions and fumbling up. You can coach all that other stuff, mental stuff up. If you got the raw materials and you start coaching him up and he starts seeing stuff better and making better reads, then all of a sudden this guy with the raw materials is making throws nobody else can make and making plays nobody else can make.
Hey, one aspect of yesterday's game that Bears mentioned, Steve, is Steven Hauschka began the game with a 51-yard field goal right out of the box, followed that up with a 34-yarder, and he was pretty solid, 3 for 3 in his field goal tries yesterday. Boy, I watched him warm up extensively yesterday, and the conditions were perfect. You know, it's natural grass at Miami. There was no wind to speak of, but he spent a lot of time in pregame warmups, and I watched him hit 51-yarders pregame. I watched him, you know, they usually move it back 5 yards of crack. Right. I watched him miss from 56 yards out. That's a difficult kick. But he did enough to get himself ready to play. He was being watched pretty extensively by the usual crew, including this time head coach Sean McDermott, who seemed to me to spend a little extra time keeping an eye on Hauschka's pregame warm-up. They wanted to make sure he was ready. He was ready, and a good bounce-back day for him yesterday. A 51-yarder to get the Bills going early on. I mean, that's a great way to finish your opening drive, 51 yards out, and then a couple of shorter kicks that worked as well. Good for him.
Yeah. Think of the difference in that game if he doesn't hit any of those. I mean, right? got to have him.
Bills only win by 8.
Yeah, you got to have him on point. And he was. He was. And I, that's one thing as well that you kind of take for granted. Nobody can take anything for granted, but you take for granted that a veteran guy like Steven Hauschka was on it all week, thinking about it, getting back in the saddle and making kicks. You can bet he had a conversation with Bjorquez about the holds, about the operation, about what he was going to do, about the differences they saw, some of the things, everything. And I bet he probably, without question, had a long conversation during the week about with Bjorquez and Reed Ferguson, I'm guessing, guys, we get to Miami, we're going to kick 50 balls in the preseason, in the pregame.
Yeah.
So get ready to extend the pregame. We're going to be out there for a long time. I want to get some reps in on that field. And they did. That's part of what goes into becoming a wily veteran is the stuff you do that gets you back on track when you've hit a stumbling block or hit a bad patch in the season. You got to get back on it and work on it, and he did.
You know who else had a good game? Corey Bjorquez, 43.6 yards net, which is outstanding. Anything over 40 is pretty good. His first punt in the second quarter, 51 yards. Bjorquez has come around. He's had a couple of good games in a row.
I got to tell you, net 43 yards.
43.6, yeah.
Back in the dark ages when I was running around, nobody, and I mean nobody, it had never been done that somebody would net above 40 yards. Now,
that's the standard.
Yeah, everybody kind of does that. That's a good, you're a good punter if you can, and people do that. That net punt over 40 yards in a game like this, a 43 yard net, that's enormous.
No
it's
punt
absolutely
returns.
Enormous.
Zero punt returns.
And
no
that's,
yardage.
If they don't return the punt, what are the chances of you giving up a punt return for a touchdown? Zero.
Yeah.
That's the big thing. And that's that. And when I was playing, that was the big thought. You keep them out of their position that they can't hit a big play. They don't even have the opportunity for a fluky thing like the kickoff return to happen against you, All of that. So it's good on Bjorquez, good on Steven Hauschka for buttoning it up this week and helping the team win by 17.
You want to talk about the kickoff return next segment? We got to talk about it eventually.
Yeah, we can do it next segment. We can save it.
Let's do it. Let's get
okay,
it out of the way.
Okay, we can do that.
We'll talk about that. We'll take more of your calls. What do you think? The Bills win by 17 in Miami. Number one factor in your mind. Give us a call. Send in a tweet. We're coming back with more. One Bills Live presented by Kaleida Health. Live from the Seneca Studio, Seneca Resorts and Casino. Nothing comes close. Welcome back, One Bills Live. John Murphy, Steve Tasker here until 3. Eric Wood's going to join us at the top of the hour coming up. Chris Brown's going to join us at 2. And, oh, by the way, Josh Allen at 1:30. We have one of the NFL's all-time premier special teams, special teamers as co-hosts here today, so we're going to put them to work. Bills give up a 101-yard kick return for a touchdown yesterday in the second quarter, right?
Yeah. Right. Second quarter.
Second,
late
quarter,
second
quarter. End of the second quarter.
The Bills had just the Bills had just scored to go up 23 to 7. Yeah. And is that right or 27-7?
No, 23-7.
23-7.
So
yeah.
They kick off. Jakeem Grant brings it out of the end zone.
Right. Yeah. It's one or 2 yards deep. And here's the thing you got to know too. And this is almost you can almost etch this into granite. The best kickoff return teams in the NFL are the ones that have the worst teams because they get scored on a lot. It's the only play in football you do not ever, not a single time ever, get to practice it at full speed. It's always walkthrough. So the guys who get a lot of practice on it are obviously better. Grant does a really good job from the very beginning of this play. He catches it outside the numbers, about two-thirds of the way between the sideline and the numbers, and he pushes hard up the field, straight ahead 10 yards, and then snaps it to his right hard across the field all the way to the far hash. And then when he turns it up inside, that burst up the field early in the return sets up the blocks because the Miami guys expect him to come out that way. So they're letting the Bills players converge on Grant when he pushes it up the field 10 yards. They get in position. When he snaps off and comes hard across the field, that's when you need somebody either bolting down the field wide to get down deep to keep him from getting to the far hash to turn it up the field. The Bills couldn't get anybody there. When he puts his foot in the ground and cuts it back up inside, the last guy to really have a chance to get him at the point of attack was Kevin Johnson, who was the safety on that play. He had dropped off, and he's kind of a safety valve. Just as he started to break down and slide over to force Grant to once again stop and kind of trying to avoid him, he gets blocked by a guy from the far side coming across who had made his – and it was designed. Number 49 of the Dolphins comes all the way across, and literally he it's a block in the back technically.
Yeah, I saw the block in the
back.
But
he doesn't block him. He just kind of stands there and snuggles up to the guy, to Kevin Johnson. So the officials won't really call that. And when he does that, Kevin Johnson, who would have been in a position, and it would have been a nice return, but it would have been inside the 25 or 30.
Yeah.
Then it turns into the big play. And I was reading Twitter, and Hauschka got roasted for not making this out. Listen, by the time it gets to Hauschka, there's so much space. Now, Hauschka could have herded the returner to the sideline, but there was so much space there, he would have gotten outrun by the angle. He couldn't have outrun the angle. Grant would have outrun him, and it would have been what it ended up. What he did was probably the right thing. Force Grant to cut back inside.
Where he had help inside.
Right, because he has help. That's where all his helpers are, all the rest of his teammates are for Hauschka. But he caused him to turn inside. Because there was no space, Grant didn't have to slow his momentum down, and it didn't help with the angle. The one thing you could say about Hauschka maybe, and you know this is the age in which we live, he hit that ball 2 or 3 yards deep. He was probably a little surprised they brought it out. And he might have been a little bit late getting down there. But even so, he's following the kick, and you can see on the film – they run it all the way to the other side of the field. He, you know, it's hard for him to get over there in time. So he was late into the play and also late over there. He finally got over there, but he was trailing too far.
We were wondering on the broadcast yesterday, myself and Eric Wood, whether because there were a couple of kick returns yesterday, including another long one by Grant. But I think the Bills went into the game thinking, let's try to pin them deep. Let's not boom it out of the back of the end zone. Let's get some coverage down there and force their drives to start within the 25. Now, that was into the end zone a yard anyway, and he brought it out. But they adjusted after that. They had a lot of kicks into the end zone after that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get it. But like I said, I'm a little old school. I don't have – because a lot of special teams coaches will do that. Like the surprise onside they got yesterday with the Dolphins, because it's really hard to make a difference on teams these days because they've been de-emphasizing with the rule changes. It's hard to bust one loose like the Dolphins did yesterday. Like surprise onsides, okay, those are, you know, higher percentage of getting because you do catch them off guard. But you do catch special teams coordinators once in a while convincing their head coach to roll the dice a little bit with them. The Bills have had a punt block this year in New England. That here in Buffalo against New England, that was the difference in the game. But I think on this one, I don't know. When you get a team like Miami who's not playing well, and they've given up a lot of touchdowns. They run through their kickoff coverage team a lot, or their kickoff return team a lot. So I would shy away from that. You know, I would shy away from that.
Jakeem Grant had done it before. He had a kickoff return for a touchdown last year, 102 yards, and a couple of punts. A 71-yard punt return for a touchdown last year and a 74-yarder back in 2016. And they got him. He got the Bills yesterday on that one. All right, we're taking a break here. We're coming back. Eric Wood's going to join us at 1. Josh Allen at 1:30. Come on back and be with us. One Bills Live presented by Kaleida Health. Live from the Seneca Studio on Buffalo Bills Radio.
T-Mobile T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.